Well, the world is dumpster fire, and nothing here makes sense. And you pass it live between crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right and nothing's good, and you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to Coffee Over Suicide, the dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. I'm your host, Chris Parker Howard. And today on the show, we have got all the way from Tokyo, Japan, Natsune Oki. And this is one of those really great conversations that's full of amazing information, uplifting information. There's a crackling energy of positivity that's just like a shot of B12 right in the arm. And because of that, I wanted to talk a little bit up at the top before we get into the wonderful, overwhelming energy that's coming. Let's talk a little bit about the quiet spaces in between the energy of joy. If you're like me, and a lot of you are, not all of you, so I don't presume this to be your experience, but let's say that this resonates with you on some level, and I hope that it does. I've been having more and more days where I find myself enduring. Not striving, not pushing, not trying, not enjoying, just enduring. Not even languishing. That's a word, right? Languishing in my depression and my sadness. Not wallowing in it. Just enduring. Just getting by. Waking up, recognizing the depression, and saying, all right, all we got to do is get through this day. Just endure it. Just endure. Because the good stuff is coming. It's coming eventually. It always does eventually. Even if it feels like I have no access to what that good stuff felt like. I have no access to the happiness that I'm capable of feeling. It's on the other side of the wall. I can't feel it right now. I can't make myself remember what it was like to feel it. I'm just going to have to trust that it's going to be there on the other side, when I endure this. But you know what? I don't know if that's the only option. I don't know if the only option is to just endure. So I want to ask you, the listener, what do you do? Do you fall into stoicism and just endure? Or is there something else? Is there another way? Because that's the thing. Until you've seen something else, you just don't know. I think I'm going to go look for some other answers. I'm going to see if I can find some different ways. Because I know that I don't know everything. And if you got any ideas, I'm all ears. So, before we get into this conversation, I do want to let you know that you can check the notes in the feed below to get yourself a free copy of The Game of Self-Domination. That is Natsune's book. And you can get a free copy in exchange for a review. That's right. All you've got to do is go to lifeupeducationtv.com/book-giveaway. That's book-giveaway. Real easy. lifeupeducationtv.com/book-giveaway. Now, let's get into this awesome conversation with Natsune Oki.
Thank you.
this is where it starts. You are my first good morning from Japan.
Yeah. Hi. Hello. So I'm from Japan. I'm in Tokyo now.
That's very amazing. So tell me a little bit about you. What's going on in Japan right now? Because I'm sure you're seeing the news about the insanity that's happening here.
You know, but you are in the States, right?
Yeah.
It's actually, which part of the state are you in?
I'm in California.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I'm in Tokyo, and actually things are not as bad as I would have to say as America, to be honest, because I also see a lot is going on with USA as well. Yeah. I actually just moved back from the States. So, you know, it's kind of like it was a good timing that I could kind of come back here. Yes. But yeah, that being said, no, the numbers are still increasing. You know, a lot of people still need help in terms of, you know, just the number of people who are getting the virus is also increasing. So, yeah, but I think very fortunately, we're still kind of like handling it just okay. So, yeah.
So were you born in Japan? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my story basically, I start with, was born and raised in Japan, and I went to America for a few years, I actually quite some time, and there I studied business and economics, and during that time, should I just go into like my full story or should
yeah,
I, should
give
I just
me everything, that? Let's, okay. Let's do it.
Yeah, so, I went to America when I finished my high school and I decided to study business. Mm-hmm. But during that time, so basically looking back at my life, I have always been like very courageous person. I've always taken a path that challenged my courageousness, right? So, you know, the first time was when it really start from when I was back in high school, which actually I mentioned something on my bio where it says I was almost kicked out high school student. And that story itself doesn't tell you who I was, so I can tell you now. But basically the reason I was almost kicked out was because I was a very curious kid and I was courageous enough that, you know, I didn't let the social pressure to oppress me to explore this curiosity.
Yeah.
So that basically got me into so many trouble because, you know, I was just a free-spirited kid who wanted to explore everything. So, but I did. And I followed my instinct. And then that was probably the first time it got me to like very big, it got me exposure to the risk, the consequence and the risk of being a courageous person.
Yeah.
And then, so started from there, I took a next courageous decision when I graduated from high school, decided to go to America all by myself. I had no family, no money, no plan, nothing at all, basically. And I just like, I was like, fuck it, let's just go. You know, the thing is like, you know, I knew that if I stayed in Japan, Japanese society, I wasn't going to be able to make it as successful because here, you know, if you want to play the game, you kind of to some extent have to play where the field is, you know, mm-hmm. and the rules that Japan play by really didn't apply to me at that time. So I knew that there was something beyond Japan, the Japanese society system, I needed to see and then really like expand my, you know, reality and recognition of the world. So I went to America and I studied business at first few years. And then there it comes the third courageous decision of my life where I looked around and saw all these international students who just wanted to, you know, their final goal of this journey is to get a degree from America, you know, go straight to like, you know, elite 4 years university, get it done, bye-bye, right? And then maybe in the end, they want to get a job at Microsoft, Google, whatever. It's like their end goal. But for me, it played very differently. I actually stopped and thought, wait a minute. I have this incredible opportunity that I'm in America and I can work, like I can actually work and learn from all this like world leaders, right? Like a business leader. And I was like super excited. So I decided to take some time off from school and I decided to work a little bit in the environment where there was a lot of entrepreneurship happening. So I got opportunity to meet a lot of tech startups, founders, investors, advisors in that nature, who were very much into like creating, you know, infrastructure and the, I guess, small startups around technology. And then, you know, it was so incredible because when I was in that community and in the mindset even, you know, and also with technology being added in the picture, there was really this feeling of nothing is impossible, right? Like there was really this feeling of like creating future, you know? And I was very inspired by that concept. And then what really triggered me at that time was these people weren't thinking going after money. I mean, of course, money is a part of the picture.
Yeah.
But, you know, their ultimate goal was a much bigger thing. Like they were such a macro thinker in terms of thinking about how human being will live our lives and then how, you know, how things really change with the emerging technology. And it was like a big shift on my mindset as well. Like instead of looking at things at the micro sense, I started looking at the macro picture of the economy and thought, wow, like I really want, I am so inspired by the possibility of humanity. Yeah. So from there, like, sorry, were you about to say something?
No, I'm listening. I'm taking all of this in.
good. So, yeah, you know, I was so inspired by that concept and then how macro thinker they were. So I basically kind of decided to shift a little bit more toward economics instead of business, because business, the success matrix fully predicated on the capitalism matrix. But then economy still has a space for the consideration for impact in people.
Yeah.
The impacts of things in people. So it would pick up some, you know, knowledge from education, knowledge from education system, knowledge from technology, politics, like everything, right? So it has more elements of people being involved. So I decided to pursue that instead. And after that, I took another, so this is my fourth or fifth courageous decision once again. And so what happened this time was I was getting really bored. Because I felt like I already knew the country. I already, you know, got to know many people. You know, my language was way better than when I got there. When I got there, I couldn't speak like a word of English. Like I could only say my name, basically. So, you know, things were getting kind of easier. So I thought, I need a challenge once again. Like I need that feeling of desperation. Like I need that feeling of suffering again, right? So I thought, let's move from here to like another side of the country, Florida, because Florida is a place I already been many times and I really liked it. And then the weather's different, people are different, like everything is different.
Yeah.
From one side to completely another side. So I moved. And then once again, I had no plan, no money, no connection, nothing. And then I just like decided to just pick up my stuff and move. And then, you know, first few months was like hell, like the definition of hell. Like it was just so unstable. At one point it got so bad that I had to move from one place to another in a matter of a week. Like it was so like, you know, survival, right? Like,
yeah.
And, but also like it was, I think it was one of the most like, you know, time that literally like really tested my life skill, another, you know, skills on my resume, like, you know, some hardcore skills. So it was really cool. And then, I finally found something, opportunity. And basically nobody wanted to hire me because, you know, I'm a foreigner. I had this like weird foreign limited working visa, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's just like a lot of consequence for the company. So you know, it was really hard. So I finally got this like really questionable job, right? Like it was just like questionable. And then, I mean, the things they were doing was legit, but you know, like the owner and everybody was like, ah, like, you know, and then, you know, it was like,
welcome to but, Florida.
but yeah, I had to like just cry home because, you know, the owner was crazy. Like he, you know, now that I have my own business and everything, like I know how important it is that you need to have like emotional intelligence in a place. Like it's never about managing tasks. It's never about managing time, blah, blah, blah. It's always about managing your mind. Like when you are in such a, like a chaotic place as a business owner, like you always need to be very emotionally aware of where your state is. And then focus on listening to practical voice, not the positive or negative voice. And that's something I learned through my own experience. But at that time, like I didn't know better, but one thing I knew was that owner, even now I think of it, that owner wasn't capable in that area. Like he was very emotional.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of affected me a lot because, you know, I was Japanese, very respectful young lady and very soft. So, you know, I became this outlet of his, all of his brain. And then, you know, he would curse at me. He would have just threw objects on the floor, like, you know, crazy stuff. So, you know, it was really hard and I really needed to change my situation. I was very like, wow, look at me. Like, you know, if I decided to take another route, actually at that point I was already set. Like I was getting so much interviews with like a very big stable corporations from Japan, like a big ones, with, you know, everything, like an expense, everything would be paid, and you know, like the kind of the company that people want to work for, you know.
Yeah.
But I just didn't want to choose that. Now it just didn't feel right for me. So at that time, you know, I also had this another ingredient that I could add on in this picture and easily come to the point to say, look at myself, like, you know, I'm such a loser for, you know, like doing what I'm doing. And then I could have done the otherwise and then have all these things like figured out and everything. So, you know, like it was extra pressure for me. But in the end, I was so thankful that I chose the path that I chose. And then that basically led me to really look for further opportunity because it was just nowhere where I wanted to be. So, you know, even though it was kind of scary still, because, you know, I knew how hard it was for the first time.
Yeah.
I basically decided to just, you know, go for it. And then very fortunately, I did find something like way better. And, you know, basically there I became this business consultant. And then we started working and then I was there for a while. And I came back to Japan after a while. And then what I did was basically I was still working with the company and I was selling their services to Japanese companies. And basically because I was doing that, I thought, why don't I do this on my own? Like, why don't I just like do the same thing? I'm already doing it for this company. So why don't I do that for me? So that's how my one part of the business was born. It's called Foreign Connect. And now what I do with that is I help Japanese companies to enter American market in three different pillars, actually two. The one is by helping them to sell abroad without necessarily setting up a business abroad. So lots of like e-commerce brands, I would like help them to, you know, set up the sales and marketing.
Yeah.
To help them to sell abroad. And then the second thing I do is startup incubation, because startups being in that environment really gives me energy. So I help companies to launch businesses abroad. And another thing I do is a little bit irrelevant, but I do is I help them to make a digital transformation within their management system, because they, like when it comes to that, Japan is very slow, you know, like we are not so, our strengths doesn't lie in we're adaptable in changes. Like, you know, adapting to change is such a hard topic for a lot of Japanese people, you know, like
it's a hard topic for people.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it adds extra layer as Japanese because we are like a village culture, you know, we value so much about the community. We value so much about making everybody comfortable. Like we have that extra layer. Okay. And that's basically that's what made me so uncomfortable when I was in high school once again. So anyway, so that's what one portion of what I do. And then within that, I had a couple of like different e-commerce stores on my own as well. And then I have another domain I have is Life Up Education TV, which I am a host, and I also author. I also published a book. It's actually coming up in August 27th, and the book is called The Game of Self-Domination, and it talks about how you can create strengths in your mindset to adapt to changes, any changes, or even like how to create changes in three different phases, changes as in like mental transformation in three different phases. So that's what I talk about in my book. And yeah, that's it.
That's it. You say that's so much. You said a handful of things there that I really think are very important, and they really struck me right out of the gate. The one thing is, anybody who listens to the show knows that I love the word curiosity. I think curiosity will take you so far as a person. But you coupled that with this adventurous spirit. So if you're curious and you're not afraid, I mean, look at everything that you've accomplished. That's like, there are people that I know that if they die having done half of that, you know, that's a life well lived. You know, but that's but that's a lot. I mean, that's it. But tell me a little bit, because there may be may be something culturally that is different about where that drive comes from. Can you speak to that a little bit? What is the how does your story fit in, let's say, I don't want to say into a typical format, because I know people are individuals and there's always outliers and things. But is your story, as far as the amount of work that you've put in, the choices you've made, you said a couple of times that you did these crazy things. I mean, it's crazy for here. How is it crazy for Japan?
Oh, I mean, it's crazier.
Well, tell me about that. I'm really fascinated by that, because it must take an extra level of bravery to make decisions like that when there are pressures that maybe. I mean, you spent a good amount of time here, so you understand just how laid back things are here. Can you speak to that a little bit? Like up to the point of like, what is that like on you mentally to go through that process?
It kind of changed over time, you know, like my motivation when I like decided to go to America, for example, versus like my motivation now, what keeps me going, really evolved over time.
Yeah.
I think really the very first phase of motivation for me was just pure curiosity. I think I just, and also desperation at the same time. I knew that one thing I was so sure was that I wouldn't be able to succeed if I stayed within Japan, because then, you know, I was a lot more victim mentality at that time. Like, you know, things are taught to, like here in Japan, especially the system teaches you not how to think, but rather it's more like, you know, this is the right thing to do, this is wrong thing to do. So people are very extra afraid of doing wrong thing and then being judged by for it. Like for example, if you are in a classroom and then if you try to answer question from the teacher, And if you get it wrong, like it's like a, you know, you get all these kinds of nasty look, you'll get make fun of, you're stupid. Like you should, you really shouldn't have said anything. Like we even have this word phrase, we say, 身の丈に合った行動をする, meaning like know your worth and act within your worth. Like that's like a saying here.
Wow.
And, you know, so it puts a lot of this like a, blocks in mindset, like you know, and so, you know, from very early age, we're taught to be just correct person. We're taught to be like, it's good to be correct. It's good to not look stupid. It's good to like follow the rule and just be no different than others. Like it's predicated on our mindset in a very, very early age. And I think to your point, I think the first motivation I had was purely just this desperation of wanting to escape, to be part of that system, society, because I was always a thinker. I always had my own opinion. And, you know, you have like show and tell school, right? Like in America.
Yeah.
Here
yeah.
in Japan, yeah. like we don't have such a thing. Like, you know, like for example, I remember this one time, you know, I saw this boy. We were hanging out at the park and this boy was, you know, mentally challenged boy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we were like around age 6 or 7. And then this boy was like, you know, age probably 17, 18. And, you know, his mental, I guess his psychological age stopped at like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, but he looked like an adult. So us three girls, we were so scared because he wanted to just hang out with us, but you know, he looked like someone who's way older than us, so we were very scared of that. And then I remember this one time he basically followed us to our home, and we were so scared. But and then my friend started crying and everything, but for me, like, I gained my opinion around it. I remember the very next day I wrote something, like it was like an essay, like pages of essay, because I felt like a really emotionally, you know, emotional experience at the time. And then I brought it to school, and then I thought teacher would read it for people or something like that, right? Like a teacher would read it or something. But, you know, like that kind of thing really wasn't a thing. Like she would be like, oh, nice, okay. Like I'm not going to even read it, you know, like that right. kind of, so, you know, like my opinion was never really valued. Like the value was never there. Like the value is always, okay, so in history class, in this XX years, this event happened. Who did it? Like that was the style. And that was what success looked like. So, you know, once again, to your point, I just really wanted to be me, who is expressive, who's creative, who's innovative, who has opinions to express, to be accepted. And I knew that it wasn't here if I had, you know, wanted to be who I am. So my motivation started from there. But I think over time, as I said, it got involved a lot. And now in a very current state, I mean, I have many ways to think about it, but I think it became a lot more like my standard.
Yeah.
Like I don't see it as something that I need to keep it up. But I see it as like my common sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I see it as like something that I'm responsible for having. It's not something nice to have. It's something that I must have. So, you know, when I switch that, like for me, it's like a standard. Like for me, when I'm underperforming, I feel like it will be nicer if I could do more. It's like required that you fucking do more. Like,
yeah.
So I think it really changed my mindset there.
Can you tell me a little bit about the change in your thought process with regards to taking care of yourself? Because I imagine that your idea about how to manage and deal with something even like failure has had mm-hmm. to evolve in order to get you to the place that you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can go into like so many different things, but currently I mean, because I can use so many different tactics, so to speak.
Well, it sounds like failure was something that was that was just roundly discouraged. Like it just wasn't an option.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, failures do happen, and when they do happen, if there's such a stigma around that, how does that not just internalize and just turn into just turn your insides into garbage? Like,
right? No, I mean, I think it also got involved. I think the first thing I started to do was really to recognize that I have no control over things that I can't control. Which is something that I talk a lot about in my book as well. You know, my book actually talks a lot about how to create a shift around looking at failures from like really multiple angles. But I'm going to pick something that I've been using that works very well with me.
Okay.
And is that, you know, I decided that I'm part of the system. I'm part of the society. And I decided to look at failure from less personal perspective. Like, you know, if good thing happen or bad thing happen, it's never about you. Like, it's never about me. If I fail, if I succeed, it's never about me. It's always about, like, me being a part of the system. And things are always in balance.
Yeah.
So if you have a bad day, there's someone else in the world who's having a good day. And in life, at the macro sense, if you have a bad season, if you are in a bad season, you're going to have a good season. Like, it's just, that's just how the nature works. So, you know, when I started thinking about, wow, like, you know, I'm in this state, negative state, where, you know, this negative person is talking to me, but I'm able to listen to my practical voice. I'm able to see what's really happening instead of my negative or positive, because I really acknowledge the fact that this is just me doing it, like negative or positive talking. It's me doing it. And there's no truth to that. It's just my emotional talkers. But then in reality, there's no right or wrong. There's no success or failure. And I mean, like, that's another thing that I really needed to learn. And I think subconsciously, that's why I moved to Florida, Miami. And was that, you know, I just didn't want to be comfortable. I just didn't want to play within the rule of textbook. I just didn't want to be in another position where you're told, you know, rules, like this is the right way or wrong way. Because in reality, in the market, there's no right or wrong answer. There's no textbook you can play by. Like, you, it's like a true life capability. It's a true life skill if you are able to be uncomfortable, but yes, you are also able to be practical at the same time. It's a true life skill. And I think it takes a lot of mental strengths. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of willingness. You know, it takes like a real life skills. And then for me, I felt like I was always kind of still safe. So I needed to learn that. And I needed to like really feel that desperation, you know? So that was like part of the reason. Now I think of it was why I made that move from Washington State to Florida, for one. But yeah, I think because I had that period, like now I feel like I'm a lot more tolerant. I developed my narratives, like different ways to create narratives around how I look at failure in order for me to keep going. So I don't, and then with a piece of acknowledging the fact that it's never about me. It's always about the event. It's always about, you know, the market. It's never about me. And then there's no success or failure in anything.
That's a really beautiful way of looking at it. Just stepping back, it's such a calm, not even necessarily passive. It's an active recognition of being a small part of a large universe. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me a little bit about the differences between what makes a confident person versus an unconfident person.
I think
what does a confident person look like?
Confidence person looks like someone with no fear. or someone who's able to make a peace with the fear, mm-hmm. And someone who's required to have confidence. So someone who decides to have confidence. And that's actually another portion of thing that I talk about in my book. And basically one of the exercises I have my leaders to do is to come really understand and have a grasp of a situation that you're scared of. Because what stops us is what scares us. When you're, yes. when you have things that's unknown, that's what makes you stop, right? So it's either you have to see it and you have to come up with the solutions to that. And then you have to also visually come up with like a peace within yourself. And then that becomes your decisiveness. That becomes your commitment. That becomes your like no BS. Like it becomes your actual commitment. And then I think that's what that's the process that a lot of people skip or subconsciously probably avoid to do.
Yes.
And then, but it's very essential. If you want to make a change, you need to really look at the downside. What scares you right now? What's scaring you right now? And come up with either plan or come up with the piece of, okay, I can accept this. Like I'm able to like do blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, so I think that creates definite confidence. So that being said, to your point, like no fear is required. And I think another thing I said was the decisiveness, right?
Yes. But no fear is a decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's all of that. There's all of your upbringing, no matter what your situation is. There's your socialization, you know, whatever your social situation is, whatever you were raised with, your society, your neighborhoods, your religion, your parents, all of that stuff. You've got all of that baggage coming in. We all have different pieces of that baggage coming in. Mm-hmm. And then after a certain point, you're able to start making some decisions for yourself pretty quickly. At a young age, you're able to start making some decisions. I'm not wearing this shirt today. I'm going to wear these shoes. I'm going to color with these colors today. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to be a problem. You get to start making these decisions. And those decisions begin to multiply. And I think that a lot of people, their decisions for how they're going to behave when they get older, you can work backward to how they reacted when they were younger, the first time someone told them they were wrong about something, or the first time someone said, no, don't do that. Because you have a decision for whether or not you're going to believe what you're being told. Whether what you're being told is something you're internalizing or something that you're just going along with it because someone else must know better than me. And that's a story you're telling yourself about yourself. This person is smarter than me. You put yourself in the back. It's much better to say, I agree with that, or I don't agree with that. But being able to start taking some ownership over your choices, it is a choice. And fear is a real big one. I am a big proponent of people making decisions to try things that scare them. You know, provided that it's not anything real dangerous. You know, don't jump in front of a train or something like that. But you know, if you're afraid to tell someone how you feel about something, the worst that's going to happen is, you know, emotional damage or whatever. It's probably not going to be that world altering. But it's something that will change you. Once you get used to the idea of being able to do the things that frighten you, the things where you're taking risks, you're taking chances, you're getting yourself out there in an area where you might fail and have to pick yourself back up, and being willing to do those things and do them with some level of enthusiasm, that can change everything about how you approach everything in your life. And it's all choices. I absolutely love that. I love that you draw that line between success and choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another thing I would say is that I think confidence is such a has such a close concept with self-love too. Because like you said, confidence is basically knowing that you are able to love yourself even if you fail.
Yes.
Like you're willing to be there for yourself, even if you mess up, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think if you don't love yourself, you're going to give up on yourself.
Yes.
But then the person who loves oneself truly is the one who's willing to be there, who's willing to be the, you know, the very last cheerleader of your life. Like, even if everyone else gives up on you, you would make sure that you're going to be there for you, you know? Like, that's a very strong sense of self-love, I think. And I think I kind of have that. Like, I feel like even if everyone in this world turns around against me, I'm going to love myself. I got me, you know? And I think it also gives me this, like, certain level of, like, comfort in terms of, you know, it's okay to mess it up. Like, I know that I'm going to love myself anyway. And I know that I'm going to be there for me to, like, you know, clean my mess after. Like, I'll be the person who's going to be there for me. If it's, you know. So I think that that's also another thing I would talk about in terms of creating the confidence. Actually, I have like a couple other things I talk about in my book, but I think those are the major things.
So do you have things that you do for yourself when you find yourself in a situation where things aren't going well? How do you get yourself back on track when things are overwhelming? Because you have a lot going on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm typically, when you're curious, when you're courageous like this, typically yeah. you're the first person who's more vulnerable to fear and risks.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. And for me, I think the thing I do is, as I shared earlier, the most thing that I work right now, that works right now, is to know that it's never about me, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, even if I have this like a state of thoughts, it's not going to stay forever. Even if it's a good thing, it's not going to stay forever. And I'm kind of like emotionally ready for that. And I feel like because I don't take things at so personally, like it just like gives me the power to actually execute and actually get down to work. I mean, work really, like, you know, that's the only thing that's going to get you results. Yeah. So even if I'm down, like, for example, you know, that's essentially why I came up with this book. And then the name is The Game of Self-Domination. Right. And I think I'm so well, like I'm so good at dominating myself in terms of, you know, managing my own mind.
Yeah.
I wanted to write this, but basically, you know, if I have this time, you know, something hit me or something, I would probably be down for like 1 hour, something like this. And like, you know, something really triggered me, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I would still be on computer, but you know, I wouldn't feel like working at that time. Right. And that's okay. And the thing about me is that I know that failure is never about a person. The failure is always about an event. So, you know, I would have just kind of like let myself to feel whatever the way I want to feel. But then, you know, 30 minutes later, 1 hour later, if you come back to me, you'll see me working. Like you'll see me grinding because I'm not going to give myself a time to just whine and bitch about that.
Right.
And what I'm going to do instead is, why are you humiliated? Why are you disappointed? Why are you sad? Why are you disappointed? I'm working. I'm fucking working. Right. Like, I think that's the only thing actually gives me the result. That's the only thing that face and that humbleness, that, you know, hard work, like work ethic, like those are the thing that works in advantage of me. That's why I win. Yeah. I'm going to outwork everyone, like on competitors, because I'm willing to work even if I'm feeling shit.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I guess to your point, I guess two things. One thing is really having that like readiness in terms of emotion, knowing that it's never about me personally. I don't take things at the personal level, but rather I would really recognize, take a moment to recognize, okay, this is just how it is. And it's not worse than how it is, or it's better than how it is. It's just how it is. And there's no right, you know, success or failure in this. Let's just figure out how, what I'm going to do about it. So that's one, like emotional intelligence part. And then the second one is my standard, I guess, comes back to the first one, you know, but my standard, really, like my standard, my, I rely on myself to be a leader.
Yeah.
And I don't like to rely on other people to kick my ass, because I kick my ass, you know? So it's my standard to keep going.
How do you find joy? Like, do you take time to enjoy all of these things? Because I mean, all of this hard work, there is a reward in it. It's wonderful to be able to see at the end of the day the output of your productivity. I'm a big fan of that. Even if that productivity is, you know, whatever it is for you, depending on whatever it is for you. But at the end of the day, to be able to look at an output, you know, I did this, like you wrote a book. I mean, there's all of those pages, you know, today I wrote 10 pages. Today I wrote 15 pages. Today I wrote one page, you know, even if it's one page, even if it's one paragraph or one really great fucking sentence. You could look at that and say, I did this today. It's here because I did this. Other than that, than the love and the joy that you get from the work that you put in, are you able to find time to find peace in any of the silences?
Like, to me, I think I don't necessarily assign time, like a block time or schedule time to feel certain, but it's more like joy and happiness is something I contain at the personal level, like at me as a, like spiritually, like I'm so happy. I'm always happy. Like if you talk to me today, tomorrow, whenever, like maybe I do have states, but at the very core, I'm always happy. Like and then I think that comes from my ability to be like grateful, gratitude.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just like so thankful. Like yesterday was like Friendship Day, International Friendship Day. Apparently I saw that on social media and I thought I had like so much shit to do yesterday. And I was like not feeling particularly so productive because I had, you know, I have just all this things to do, but then I was just down to like, you know, 20% of that or something. And I was like, ah, but as soon as I saw that hashtag, I thought it's worse that I take some time off and make the small clips to send out to my friends saying like, you know, like, so I made this like a cute little social media post on TikTok where I collected all my best friends from international, right? Like international locations. And then, you know, just one word, like, you know, this person is kind to me. So I would say, you know, kind John, like warm-hearted John, or this person is amazing. So I would say like amazing Alberto, blah, blah, blah. And then I would just like make a short clip. And then where at the end I say, because I know you, my life is so much richer and I love you. Right. And then I would just like make this little thing and then I would post it and I would send it to them. And that, like the joy I get out of that, and then, you know, the connection I'm able to feel, and just, you know, the little emotion that I can pick up from just making that video, because it makes me think of all these things about the relationship I have with them. Right.
Yeah.
Like it gives me such a joy and it gives me this like appreciation, really. It makes me a happier person. And I think my capability is also that at the end of the day, I know what's important to me, which is like inspiration, right? Like inspiration in many things sense, but one of the definition of inspiration is this, right? Like me having the connection with other person and have the opportunity to interact and connect it at such a deep level with another person. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, those are the times that counts, you know, when it really comes down to that time, you know, when you're laying down your deathbed, whatever. So, you know, like, I kind of like have that joy already, like, all the time. And sometimes it becomes a little bit more visual. Like I said, like, International Friends Day was like a good trigger for me to do something nice for other people. But in general, I think I'm very thankful and I'm very happy.
Well, I'm very excited about the book. I can't wait to get my hands on it. and thank you for talking to me today.
Yeah, well, no, I enjoyed a lot too. I feel like I talked a lot, but thank you. Sorry if I talk too much.
You know, you're good at so many things. Talking is just one of them. So I just let you go. Everything you were saying was much better than the bullshit that I would have came up with.
Wow. No, but thank you very much for having me today. It was really cool.
And there it is. Can you believe it? All the way from Tokyo, Japan. That was an amazing conversation with some very, very awesome insights. And it brought a lot of light back into the darkness for me. I really enjoyed it. And if you really enjoyed it and want to get some more Natsune in your life, and I know that you do, just check the feed below on the podcast app you're listening on and scroll down. You'll see links to the Instagram. You'll see links to the website, which is lifeupeducationtv.com. And you can go there, you can get the book, and in fact, there's a link in the feed below where you can get the book for free in exchange for a review. But until next week, don't kill yourselves out there.